This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
Survivor 48 is here, and alongside it, we're bringing you a brand new season of On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast. If you're a Survivor super fan, you won't want to miss this deep dive into every episode where we break down how we designed the game, the biggest moves, your burning questions. It's the only podcast that gives you inside access to Survivor that nobody else can. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast with me, Jeff Probst, every Wednesday after the show, wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH, this is Sports Daily with Jacob Albrock and Tommy Gester.
Well, yes. Yes, it is Sports Daily with Jacob Albrock and Tommy Gester, and we're glad to be with you on what we're deeming the sports day of the year on the calendar as we get the Sweet 16 on in the men's tournament. And we get opening day for Major League Baseball. We have a ton to cover today in college basketball and on the diamond, and we can't wait to do it. We're ready for it. It's opening day. We're a couple of baseball guys getting ready for baseball, and I couldn't be happier about it. We'll get you the Royals preview. We will dig in deep. We'll go through everything with the Royals here as they play today, 3 o'clock. You'll hear it right here on KFH. Against the Cleveland Guardians. Looking forward to that. And the NCAA tournament back in action. Sweet 16, 4 games tonight. On to the Elite Eight. Here we go. This is where the tournament, for the basketball reasons, gets really, really good. And I think it's a great Sweet 16. We got Max Power in studio producing for us. He is taking your calls at 869-1240. We are live on 12 News Connected. We've got you covered on Facebook, YouTube, and X. You can leave us video comments there. And you can leave us voice messages if you're listening to us on the Odyssey app. It's a great way to interact with the show. If you can't do it right then, right now, you can leave that voice message anytime. We'll get that. Max can play those out over the air. We'll give away some HTO today, so make sure you stay tuned for your chance to win some HTO. We got all kinds of good stuff. Thanks, Prairie Fire Coffee, for getting us fueled up. The caffeine, maybe not as needed today, Tommy, because we're fired up.
Yeah, it feels
either
good.
Way, hey, for this day.
Can you smell it? Can you smell the spring in the air? Had some thunderstorms.
No, well, I can't smell anything. I haven't been able to for about 2 weeks.
Had some thunderstorms roll through a couple hours ago. I walked out to my car this morning. It smelled like spring rain.
Did we get a little rain last night?
A little bit of rain. A lot of lightning, actually. I know you haven't emerged from your dungeon yet this morning, clearly. But had a little bit of lightning, a little bit of thunderstorm rolling through, but it smells and feels like spring. It's opening day. Spring is in the air. Sweet 16 games. Like it's an exciting, it was all kind of almost like Christmas Eve last night. Like I had a hard time going to sleep. Looking forward to getting into it today.
Yeah, I did too. It was not an easy night. I really am excited. I love opening day. I fall into that camp of weirdos, I guess. I think it should be a national holiday. I think we should celebrate this day of baseball. And then you throw in the Sweet 16 on it, which for the basketball purposes, you know, all the fun and the fanfare and everything, give me the first two rounds for that. I prefer that, you know, for all of that stuff. But once it just becomes basketball, let's go, because we've got some great games tonight. We've got some great games. There's not a bad game in the Sweet 16 that you couldn't see going either way, right? Like you could see this going either way, and there's storylines abound. BYU Alabama could score a billion points. Can Maryland take down Florida while their coach is rumored to be a candidate for another job already and who's sidestepping all the questions, Kevin Willard, as we get mad at players for tampering and entering the portal? This would be what now, the third coach that's on to fourth coach that's on to somewhere else while his team's still playing. So give me a break. I don't want to hear it, because coaches have been doing this since the beginning of time.
North Texas, I believe, just lost their coach to West Virginia. He's the new West Virginia coach.
Okay.
And North Texas is still playing in the NIT. And so they've already announced him as the new West Virginia coach and all that. So, I mean, like, this stuff is happening all over the place.
I mean, it, like, for real, Will Wade basically said he's taking the NC State job while his team was still playing.
Mm-hmm.
Ben McCollum had the Iowa job locked up about, I don't know, 24 hours after his team was done playing.
He had it locked up before then, let's be real.
Yeah, we've got Kevin Willard right now, who won't answer the question if he's sticking around at Maryland or going to take the Villanova job right now. And they're still playing in the Sweet 16. And this stuff happens all the time, yet we get annoyed when the players are being, you know, spoken to while their teams are still playing. Like, this is the double standard garbage we've been talking about forever, that we talked about for a long time yesterday. Like, you can't have it both ways. Like, all that's happening now is... is like a reflection of what's been happening before. It's the way it is. And I don't care if Kevin Willard goes to Villanova or not. I think he can very much interview for that job while focusing on this job. No issue there. If he wants to, or somebody wants to pay whatever buyout, like whatever, I think it can be done. I think it can be done for the players too. Doesn't mean I like it either way. You know, I would love for Villanova to get popped for talking to Kevin Willard before his team's done playing.
I don't know why, if you're Kevin Willard, though, why you would go to Villanova. I understand that they've won national
something
championships recently.
I
get it, but like Maryland is a big, Big Ten school, right?
It's got something apparently to do with the athletic department, you know, mishaps or something. Uh-huh. I don't know. I agree with you. Maryland's as good a job as Villanova. But that was what I read, is it has something to do with their athletic department was a mess and he helped clean it up and maybe he's tired of it. I who knows?
You know, like this is not Jay Wright's Villanova anymore. They have fallen on tougher times since Jay Wright left a couple of years ago. And Kevin Willard's a good enough coach that he can probably get him back. But man, like if I'm him, I've got Maryland in the Sweet 16 and, you know, in competing in a Power Four conference in the Big Ten. And I don't know why I would go to Villanova.
I think that's why. I mean, I think they're just that hadn't been a great couple of years. I mean, Kevin Willard's been pretty good. He was pretty good at Seton Hall. They consistently made the tournament. And then at Maryland, he said, "Yeah, I think he's done a nice job there."
He has done a really good
NCAA
job. I mean,
tournament appearances.
I feel like at best it's a lateral move, you know, for him. But hey, if there if there are other things going on inside that athletic department at Maryland, and he's got to get out, then you know, I guess it is what it is.
Whatever. I don't care. I want to see him play Florida. It's one of the reasons, one of the many reasons, by the way, that I like Florida tonight. It's one of the bets that I'll make. I like Florida -6. A distracted coach doesn't change my mind for that. So there we go. We'll talk about our bets on that. We'll talk about some baseball bets.
Let's talk baseball.
I'm not a huge baseball bettor, but it's opening day. We got to find something. We got to put something together for you for Major League Baseball. I mean, there's probably promos galore on all the bettings. We got to take advantage of this in every way that we can.
I think we ought to also take a moment at some point during the show and, you know, throw out who our champions we think
let's
will
do
be.
The predictions.
You know, maybe even division winners, wild card teams if we want to. I mean, it's that day. Like, we've got today to do that. And then, you know, what was the old saying with the Chicago Cubs? You know, they could never win a championship and they lose their first game. And the fans always said, hey, there's always next year. But we've got today. Like, the games haven't even started yet. It's a clean slate for everybody.
We'll do that this hour. We're going to talk about the Royals. We'll dig into the Royals when we come back, and then we'll dig into baseball as a whole when we continue on in this hour. Tim Fitzgerald, our K-State insider, is going to join us. We'll catch up on the latest with the Cats in the portal. We asked Shreyas Lotta yesterday if KU might be interested in Quincy Ballard, who is, you know, leaving Wichita State by all accounts. What about K-State? It makes even more sense. So we'll talk to Fitz. Who's coming back? Is anybody coming back at this point? Do we know? And what are they doing out there in the portal to bring some players in? So that's all coming for you today. Again, 869-1240. You can leave us your comments on the video stream. All kinds of good stuff for you on this Thursday. Holy moly. Buckle up, everybody. It's just like the best. It's the best. We'll talk baseball. We'll talk Royals next.
It's time to get back to the sports talk.
All right, let's do this thing. Go!
Sports Daily is on KFH.
Welcome back in, everybody. Glad to be here with you on Sports Daily. Major League Baseball is back. And here on KFH, we've got Royals baseball for you all season long. Opening day. Today, you can tune in to 97.5 and 1240 KFH for Royals baseball at 3 o'clock, hosting the Cleveland Guardians. Listen by downloading the app right here over the air on the app at odyssey.com. Search for KFH. Lots of different ways to do it. Here we go, Tommy. It is Major League Baseball season. The Royals coming off an 86-win wild card year. The big question now is, can they repeat the performance? I think that they can. 86 wins is probably the floor of what it would take to get back to the postseason. They're predicted to have about 83. When we look at it last year, we talked about in the spring, this team was offensively gifted, right? The best in baseball in most offensive categories outside of like home runs. But all the other ones, you know, runs and batting average and OPS and all of this stuff. They have been the tops in baseball all spring long. That, I think, is the biggest area that we're not talking enough about, Tommy, that they can grow this year. We got to remember Vinny Pasquantino was hurt for a lot of last year. We have to remember two of the key bats in the middle of their lineup that were key contributors late got off to just absolutely dreadful starts. And now we look at this and there's all that room. They were basically a league average offense just about across the board last year. Tommy, I think they can get into that top seven or eight teams offensively in baseball, this team. And I don't even think that's a stretch, right? I think that's very achievable. Even if they didn't add Jonathan India, who is looking like a perfect fit so far, Hunter Renfroe, MJ Melendez, you really think they're going to get off to that slow a start again? Vinny Pasquantino, same thing. Like, I doubt it. You know, like, I doubt it. And so I think there's room to become a much, much, much better offense for this team. And that's where it starts for my optimism with them this year.
Yeah, I think the biggest thing to keep our eyes on is how quick of a start overall does the team go on. Because remember, even though Hunter Renfrow and MJ Melendez and even Vinny Pasquantino, to your point, had a really slow start offensively to the 2024 season, the Royals were still winning games on the backs of their rotation. So that it was not a fool's gold scenario because they were still winning games early on. I think it helped mask the fact that offensively, outside of the, you know, 2 and 3 hole position, or really, I mean, if you want to look at it, mainly Bobby Witt Jr. and then Salvador Perez, outside of those two guys, offensively, there wasn't a whole lot of production going on. It was a revolving door at the leadoff spot and all of that. They were winning games despite the clear deficiencies that they had offensively. So I think that it's okay to have optimism in that regard, because I think that even if, let's just say that, you know, Renfrow and Melendez kind of get off to the same sort of start they went off to last year, hopefully they don't, but if they do, there are enough reinforcements now in that lineup to help compensate for that on that side of it. And then the pitching staff, and I'm looping in the bullpen to this as well, the pitching staff still remains pretty strong as a whole. And so I do think that you've got ways to compensate if you do have a scenario where a handful of players get off to slow starts like they did last year.
You know, the Chiefs up in Kansas City get so much credit for the work they do in the off seasons. But man, I got to tell you, like the other team in town, JJ Piccolo has done an unreal job with the roster. Yes, the depth behind those guys is just a little bit better for sure. But like, what, you know, there are all, you've got these stories all over the place of like good fits for their players now with this current group. I love the fact that they have Freddie Fermin and they utilize him the way that they do. Michael Garcia is going to get enough chances to take that next step in his career. And if he doesn't, guess what? They now have plenty of room and plenty of backup, you know, to get somebody else in there. They've done a really nice job constructing this group of players. They're insanely talented at the top of the lineup. So I'm with you. And yes, the rotation, while it is my bigger concern, if we're going to have one, I don't like the rotation. I still like the rotation a great deal. But when they traded Singer, I was concerned. You know, you're taking away the strength of the team a year ago and what really raised their floor basically last year. But what they did was they went and put together what I think will end up being one of the better bullpens in baseball. Tommy, their bullpen is loaded. That work started last year at the trade deadline. Right? They now have, and everything happens for a reason, I suppose. You know, you go trade all the assets for Hunter Harvey, gets hurt, and then it forces you to go trade for Ursic. Well, now you got Harvey back, seemingly. You go and you grab Estevez somehow. Not sure even how that happened. Now you can use Ursic in where we really saw him be the most valuable last year. And that's like, oh crap, we're in a mess. Like, go get Ursic, see if he can get us out of this thing. Like, that was his great ability last year. You still have James MacArthur. And then they still have all the other guys that now situationally become much better. You've got Sam Long and Angel Zerpa as lefties, right? And then remember Schreiber and how effective he was when he came back? Remember that Stratton has just kind of been a winner? Like, there are guys all over this bullpen. You also got Lynch as a lefty. There are guys all over this bullpen. Like, they're loaded in the bullpen now, which is crazy to imagine when we think back to last year and how bad they were in that department.
Yeah, it's huge. I said it the other day that I feel like the bullpen is set up to be one of the best bullpens in Major League Baseball, at least on paper. We'll see how it, you know, actually turns out. But
bullpens are weird, right?
You never know, but at least they're, for right now, as we're kicking off the season, there should be a sense of calm, at least right now, going into the season with the bullpen, which was a clear Achilles heel for the Royals the first half of the season. It stabilized with the addition of Lucas Ursic at the trade deadline. But before that, like, it was all over the place. And it was like on the edge of your seat night in and night out, being like, man, like they can't go to anybody in this bullpen and right. feel confident that they're going to be able to get out of it unscathed. Sometimes they did. Sometimes they didn't. It was always, I guess, exciting, if you want to put a positive spin on it, but it was extremely stressful. I can only imagine the way that it was for Matt Quatrero sitting there in the dugout every night, like, you know, basically crossing his fingers and toes, like, are we going to get out of this game with a win? On the backs of fantastic starting pitching for the most part, and then, you know, you just can't ride your starters all the time. You've got to go to some other guys, and there was really nobody reliable, at least in the beginning part of the season. That's a clear strength for the Royals. But again, I go back to this season. I go back to the way they started last year. Remember, they got off to a great start overall. And again, I'll point it out, it was despite the clear deficiencies. It was despite the lack of offensive production outside of Bobby Witt Jr. and Salvador Perez. It was despite the fact that they had a shaky, at best, bullpen. They were still able to find ways to win games, and they were able to then maintain their lead in the division and in the playoff hunt throughout the rest of the season. So it shows me, going back a year, that they didn't have to be a perfect team to win games. And in the areas that they needed to improve in, they were able to improve. And you mentioned Jonathan India at the top of the lineup. That's been a massive addition, at least through spring training, and hopefully will carry over into the regular season. They've got added depth now, offensively at least. And, you know, I know we haven't talked much about it, and I know it doesn't really move the needle for you, but I think Mark Canna coming over is big because he's a veteran bat. It adds additional depth. And what the guy has lacked in power, he makes up for in getting on base. He's a reliable guy to get on base. And that's important. And the fact that he's been able to do that through the course of his career, and even in a limited showing in spring training with the Royals, they needed somebody, you know, whether or not he's starting or pinch hitting or whatever, coming off the bench, him getting on base, especially in high leverage late game situations, that's definitely a valuable asset that the Royals now have. And he's not the only one, but there have been several others that they've been able to, you know, bring up and feel like they've got more weapons offensively than they had a year ago.
I mean, I agree. And there are, can you just imagine if somebody like Michael Garcia goes back to his form of 2023, right? When he was a 270 hitter. Not the best player in baseball, but he's fast. He runs. He's got a little pop potential. Like there is so much wiggle. Here's what it feels like to me. It feels like 2014, 2015, in the sense that everything that happened last year sort of built to this year, right? And I remember 2015 because the expectation had been set. Now, that team in 14 made the World Series, but you had all of this stuff sort of come together. They kind of played through it. The Royals were more aggressive last year than they were in 2014, but I also envision very much a world where the Royals are near the top of the American League all year and get real aggressive at the trade deadline if they need to. Right, I don't think they're going to hold anything back. I mean, they just don't really need to, right? Like, everything's there. If they need to go get one particular thing, I think they can attack it. And I don't want to put the cart ahead of the horse. They're picked right now, tied for third in the division, 83 wins, all these things. But I just don't see it. I couldn't be more optimistic about the way it all fits together. And I'm so happy now that the top concern when they traded Singer is alleviated through the bullpen and through Lorenzen. Like, the difference in Singer's been really good. He's been a little inconsistent, but if you look at the numbers and where he stacks up to the American League last year, he was a well above average pitcher in your four hole. I don't want to say Lorenzen and Singer are a wash, but it's not that far off. It helps, right? But it's the bullpen that I'm like, man, these guys that they leaned so heavy on last year, who all pitched more innings than they've ever pitched before, which is frightening, now don't have to do that this year, in theory. Like, now you can go into this year, cut it loose, and you can turn it over. I don't know what the order's going to be on the back end of the bullpen. I have no idea how that looks. And maybe there is.
Jalen Thompson has told us that it sounds like Estevez will be the closer. Right. He'll like, end the game.
Do you have that set 7, 8, 9? Is it Harvey, Ersig, Estevez? Estevez. Like, I don't know. Like, I don't think they need to do that because now they've got these lefties. They've got Ersig who can kind of come in. Hell, Ersig can come in and bail you out in the fourth inning if you need to. You know what I mean? Like, so I don't know how that shakes out. I just know that they have so many more arms back there than they've had in 4 years. Like, it's been a long time since they've been able to run a bullpen out there like this. Bullpens are weird. They got to perform. I think the offense provides this team the floor. I think the starting pitching, we'll see. We'll see. Everybody hit innings limits and innings highs last year. I think it's still very good.
But they don't, but they the don't need to be where they were a season ago.
That's what I
that's
agree.
The biggest
I
thing.
Totally
they don't have to do. And that's, again, a credit to J.J. Piccolo in crafting this team and building the reinforcements for the bullpen. I think, honestly, that's the biggest reason why the bullpen looks the way that it does to start this season is not necessarily because they felt like it was shaky at times earlier in the year last season. That was probably part of it. But I think it was more about we've got to give more support to our starters. We cannot expect Seth Lugo and Cole Reagans to throw more innings than they should, or any of these other guys in the rotation, to be honest with you. So I think that's a major reason why they went out and got Estevez, and they were able to make some of those reinforcements in the bullpen and just, you know, really stabilize things that way. The biggest thing for me, and this is even like less about the actual balls and strikes and the performance on the field. The biggest difference for me between last season and this season, on opening day, there were no expectations last year. Like, they were coming off of a 106 loss season in 2023. I think everybody expected there to be a little bit of improvement with Bobby Witt Jr. going into his sophomore season and all of that. But there were no, like, postseason expectations. There was nothing like, yeah, like, this team should be taking a major step forward and whatever. Like, it was kind of like, well, we'll just kind of let it ride and see what happens. And hopefully we see nominal improvement from this team. And then all of a sudden they were playing with house money. They started winning. They kept winning. And they made the playoffs. And they won a playoff series. This season on opening day, there are expectations. Right. Like, I was thinking about it earlier this morning. I'm like, man, what for me, what would feel like a success from a wins losses perspective when the season ends? And I'm like, man, it's got to be over 90 wins, like 90 or above for me, because where'd they finish last year? 86. So you would like to think with the reinforcements that they had in the offseason and everything that they addressed and lead off and bullpen and all of that, I think a fair expectation would be 90 wins or above in an AL Central that they should win this year. And that's different. That's different
AL
this Central year.
They're going to be good.
Sure, they. I mean, they're good every year. But like, that's. I mean, there are four teams that I think could have a shot to win that division, just like there was a season ago outside of the White Sox. But I think that's fair. I think it's fair to say after what we saw from them last year, I want to see 90 wins or above from this team.
We're just going to look. Yeah. See. Okay. So here's why I would. I think it's just where they were last year at 86. I just pulled this up, like wins, total wins, and the odds of it. You said 90. Man, there's only four teams across baseball that are getting that kind of, you know, run.
Great.
The Dodgers,
cool.
The Braves, which actually surprises me. Did I miss something on the Braves this offseason? We'll talk about that next segment. The Dodgers, the Braves, the Phillies, and the Mets. That's it. Those are the only teams right now getting 90-plus wins.
I mean, there's got to be an American League team or two in there to win more than 90 wins.
I know. Well, right? Or is the American League so even that there's not?
I don't think we're going to see that. Like, there will be a team or two or three that win 90 games this year.
Well, right. I mean, no, I'm not saying there won't be. I mean, last year you saw the Yankees win 94, the Orioles won 91, the Guardians got over 90, and that's it. There were three.
Yeah.
So are the Royals the top three team in the American League?
Yeah.
I think they are. I think they are.
Like, I don't know. I don't know why. I don't know for what reason we would sit here on opening day after what we saw last year and then what we've seen from the offseason and the fact, and I know it's spring training, but and the fact that they've been the best offense during spring training, why we would sit here and hedge a little bit and say, well, not,
I'm
going to
say 86. I'm gonna put it right where it was last year. And I think because I think there's regression coming in the starting rotation. Now, I think the Royals are going to the postseason. I think the Royals can win the World Series. But if I'm trying to, like, I'm not, how many do I think they win and what do I think their like baseline number would be? And maybe this doesn't even make sense, is a little different. Yeah. I think the baseline number should be like, if the Royals come out and win 87 games this year, I don't think I'll be disappointed, even if it means they don't make the playoffs. How many wins do I think that they'll have? I'll put it at 92. You know, like
remember they were pacing for over 90 wins last season before Vinny Pasquantino went down with injury. So, I mean, obviously, like crazy things can happen and you never know injury wise.
That's what I mean.
But they were pacing towards that with the team with all the deficiencies they had a season ago. Great starting pitching, shaky bullpen. I mean, even though Urcig was there towards the end, Hunter Harvey was injured. They didn't have Estevez at that point. Like, they didn't have the bullpen that they have now. And they had clear issues in the lineup, especially the bottom half of the lineup. And it was a revolving door in the leadoff spot. And Vinny Pasquantino then got hurt. They limped their way into the playoffs and they still won 86 games. Like, I don't think that it is unfair to look at the Royals this season with this roster and with what they've put together and say, yeah, this should be at least a 90-win team.
Yeah, no, I don't think it's unfair. I just think I don't want to be disappointed if they don't win 90, and if they win 87, I think I'd still be happy. Let's predict a little baseball, Tommy. We'll just take it division by division. We'll go American League, National League here. We'll start in the Royals division in the AL Central. I think we will agree on this. Look, I'm picking the Royals to win the division. I'm picking the Royals to win the division. I think that they've done more than any other team around them. I think the Twins will be very good. I think the Tigers are a wild card completely with all the young players and young talent they have coming up through the system, but I don't think they'll repeat last year. White Sox are still going to stink, and the Guardians will always be the Guardians, but I've got the Royals. What say you?
Yeah, I think it's going to be the Royals as well. There's really no reason for me to think that they can't duplicate what they did a season ago. I think the main caveat to that is going to be the Twins and how great their young players end up being, and if they're able to get to a point to where they certainly can come in to the big league squad and help the team right away. I know they've got a really, you know, solid farm system and all of that. And so I think that that's going to be a caveat for me. The Tigers, you know, they've got young pitching and Tarek Skubal is phenomenal. I think that they'll make the playoffs too. The Guardians, I think, you know, you look at them from top to bottom, and last season, at least, there wasn't a whole lot like to really jump off the page at me about the Guardians. They just won. Right. Like it wasn't like they were stacked with superstars or there was like something about them that really stood out as being this amazing team. They just won baseball games. I think they'll probably regress a little bit. So I'll take the Royals to win the division.
All right. Let's go out east in the American League. It was the Yankees and the Orioles last year. Boston feels like they've made a lot of progress. I think, this is hard. I think the Yankees without Gerrit Cole. I'm gonna go Baltimore. I'm gonna go Baltimore here as my division winner. So many great young position players. Can they pitch enough is the big question. This is where you look at the Royals when you stack them up against the rest of the American League, Tommy. And I think they have more pitching than a lot of these teams. The Corbin Burns, no, he's in Arizona now, right? Like he's out there. Gerrit Cole's not that. I don't know. I'll take Baltimore. Boston's the team to watch though here. Because Boston does have a little bit of pitching. They're just young, but I'll stick with Baltimore.
Yeah, remember that the Yankees not only lost Gerrit Cole to that injury, but also they don't have Juan Soto anymore either. And so, like, they lost their best pitcher and their second best hitter after Aaron Judge for the season. And so, I think that the Yankees will probably make the playoffs still, but I don't have them winning the division. I'm going to agree with you and say Baltimore, with all their young talent, they were exciting last season. I think that that continues. I think that I remember saying when Baltimore got bounced from the playoffs last season, I remember thinking to myself and saying, I think on this show, they'll be back. Like they were maybe a year too early, but they are establishing themselves as a legitimate, consistent threat in the American League. I'm going to take Baltimore. I'm not ready yet to say anything about Boston. They made a ton of changes and a ton of additions in the offseason, but we have no idea how that's going to pan out for them. And I think the other two teams in the division are too far away. I think the Blue Jays, they've got talent, but I don't think that they're going to be able to compete in the division. And you know, Tampa Bay, I don't have on my radar.
Blue Jays have to win more than 74 games. But that was such a disappointing year for them. I think they got to come up a little bit. I mean, Boston was an 81. They were 500 team last year that seemed to get better. I think they're one to watch for sure. And then in the American League West, it's going to be a battle of attrition. Now, I don't know that anybody got better. The Rangers lineup should be one of the best in baseball. If not the best in baseball, it might be the deepest. But they've already had a bunch of pitching injuries. Jacob DeGrom's there. I'm going to pick the Rangers and just hope like hell as a Rangers fan that DeGrom can give them something this year. They brought back Nathan Eovaldi. They've got a couple of young starters, but they're thin in the rotation. And their bullpen might be a hot garbage mess. But I think they have enough offense. I think the Astros got worse. The Mariners, I want to pick the Mariners. I want to say the Mariners, but they always underachieve. And then I think the Angels and the A's aren't very good.
Yeah, I'm not going to pick the A's. I'm not going to pick the Angels. You know, the Rangers, to your point, they've got a really, really deep lineup. And for that reason, they should be a playoff team. I'm not ready yet to say that they'll win the division because of the pitching injuries and things like that that they're dealing with, but their offense is phenomenal. It's hard to pick against the Astros, even though they got worse. Like, they're a constant. And so I think for that reason, I'm going to say the Astros win the division. I think the Rangers make the playoffs, and I think the Mariners will underachieve.
CBS's predictive thing agrees with you. They only like the Rangers for 78 wins. The Rangers are a bit of a bargain this year, too. Three wild card teams. Give me the Yankees. Give me Boston. And give me Minnesota as the three. I really would like to put Seattle up there. But, man, see, fool me once with Seattle. I want to put them up there every year, and they always disappoint me. So that's what I'll go with in the wild card.
Yeah, I'm going to say the Yankees as one wild card team. I'm not, like I said, I'm not ready yet to, you know, put the Red Sox as a playoff team. I want to see their new additions and young players kind of come up to be able to get to that point. So I'm not going to put them in the wild card, and I feel the same way about Minnesota. I'm going to put Detroit in the wild card, and then I'm also going to put the Rangers in the wild card. So I'll go Rangers, Tigers, and Yankees as my wild card teams.
The American League's wide open. Who you send into the World Series?
Oh, man. My heart, I would love to say the Royals. I'm going to say the Orioles are my World Series team in the American League.
I think whatever team ends up there will make a significant trade at the deadline to get better. I will say the Royals because I think they're the most complete team right now. It's wide open in the American League. I don't say that with conviction, but I'll say it for now because I think they have the best player in the league, and they're the most complete team in the league when you talk about starting pitching, bullpen, and in the lineup. So I'll put them there now. I think they're absolutely capable of doing it. I think they absolutely could have done it last year. Patrick Bautner got there had they won that series against the Yankees. So I certainly think they're capable. I'll put them in there. Asterisk, I think they're going to make a big move at the deadline. It's probably in the starting rotation, but we'll see. All right, let's go over to the National League. Here we go. I'll let you start because I want to know why the Braves are like being predicted to win a billion games this year. Did the Braves get better than last year?
No,
they won 89 games last year.
I don't think they did. I mean, they got healthier. You know, they'll have Ronald Acuna back. They should have Spencer Strider back. But they lost a lot. I mean, they lost Max Fried. They lost Travis d'Arnaud. You know, they lost a handful of players that either signed somewhere else or they didn't bring back. Really, the only notable addition that they have was Jerks and Profar. Like, that's not even really that notable, but that's the main addition that they brought over.
Expecting all of baseball.
Yeah, I mean, but has he played that way in his career? Not really. I mean, he's been okay at times, but that's been their major addition. Now, that being said, Chris Sale was a revelation for them last season. They got him on a bargain, not thinking that he was going to be the Chris Sale of the past, and he was. He was phenomenal last year for them, and he'll return this year for the Braves. But no, like, I've seen all of those predictive sites also that had them winning a bunch of games, and I'm like, I think they'll be good, but they didn't really do anything of significance this offseason.
I agree with that. I think the Phillies are my team to win that division. I know the Mets have made a bunch of moves, but that never seems to work out for the Mets. So I'm going to take the Phillies. I'm going to take the Phillies to win the division. They'll get their young star pitcher Painter called up at some point here this year, and I already love their lineup and everything else. So I'm going to take the Phillies to win the division. Who's your division pick there?
I am going to pick the Braves. I mean, they won 89 games last year with Acuna and Strider on the shelf. So I think that's probably a big reason why the Braves didn't make a whole lot of notable moves, was because they're like, well, we were basically a 90 win team and a playoff team a season ago, and we'll be healthier this year, so we'll just ride with what we've got. So I'll go ahead and pick them. The Phillies are the kryptonite for the Braves in that division, so I could see them absolutely winning the division. I'm not ready yet to say anything about the Mets because, again, they spent a lot of money, and to your point, that usually doesn't work well for them. So I'll take the Braves.
All right, so Braves, Phillies in the Central. Let's go to the, in the East. Let's go to the Central. Man, what do you do with all this mess?
I hate this division, by the way. I hate the NL Central.
I want to go out on a limb here, one way or the other. You know what? I'll go out on a limb. How about this? How about this for a hot take? The Reds will win the NL Central. The Reds. You heard it here first. Give me the Cincinnati Reds.
Do you have any justification for that, or you're just...
Yeah, I love Ellie De La Cruz. I love Spencer Steer. I think they have... I love some of their young pitchers, I think, are really high upside, like Lodolo, like Hunter Green. I just don't love anybody in the division. I think they have a ton of young ascending talent. I couldn't justify very well any of these teams, Tommy. I mean, Milwaukee is the safe bet.
Yeah, I'm going to take the safe bet. I'm going to say Milwaukee just because they've been there before in that division recently. They know how to do it. And I think what was notable for Milwaukee was that they still made the playoffs a season ago without Craig Counsell as their manager. And I think there were many, many, many people that felt like with Counsell going cross division to the Cubs, that was going to be the end of it for Milwaukee, and it wasn't. And so because of that, I think I'm going to go ahead and take Milwaukee just because they are the safe bet, and I don't feel confident enough in any of those teams to be able to go out on a limb.
So the Reds, it's about, and they pitch in the worst pitching park, I think, in baseball, but like Hunter Green, Brady Singer, Nick Martinez, Nick Lodolo is your top four. Like that's pretty good.
And by the way, Rick actually brings up a pretty good point that I forgot about, to your point with the Reds. Terry Francona is the new manager for the Reds now. I forgot about that.
All he does is go to the playoffs, right? And turn teams around. So that's probably my boldest of all of these picks, is that the Reds will win the NL Central. But I'll stand by it. I mean, anybody going to not pick the Dodgers
It's absolutely the Dodgers. I mean, there's no other team that you would feel confident enough to pick.
I mean, San Diego's going to be really good.
Yeah, they're really good, but they're not the Dodgers.
We'll carry that right into the wild card. So I'll put the Padres in a wild card. But yeah, the Dodgers are going to be near impossible to overtake in a regular season setting. So give me the Padres is one of mine. Man, you want to go an even hotter take and say the Pirates, but I'm not going to do that yet. Man, I'm close. Give me the Braves. Give me the Mets. So that's three. Padres, Braves, Mets.
I'm going to say the Padres. I'm going to say the Phillies. And then I think my other third, I'm really on the fence about this, my other third wild card team, and this might be my hot take, I'm going to say the Diamondbacks. We haven't talked about the Diamondbacks much at all.
They won 89 years ago and went and got Corbin Burns.
I know. So I'm going to say the Diamondbacks are my sleeper team. They're not going to win the division. It's hard to, or nearly impossible, when the Dodgers are in there. I think they'll make the wild card this year. They were in the World Series a couple years ago. So yeah. I'm going to put them right back in the playoffs.
Yeah, I had a hard time with either them or the Mets. And I'll go Mets, but the Diamondbacks are very, very good, and they added one of the best pitchers in baseball. So totally get it. Who's going to the World Series in the National League?
Dodgers.
Fine.
And the Dodgers are my champ. I mean, they're going to go back-to-back. The Dodgers beat the Orioles probably in five games.
I don't want to even say that. So I'll... We'll come back. Let's talk hoops when we return on Sports Daily.